Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you on this another day that our God has made. It is September the 12th in the year 2021. And this is our last Sunday school class at this time at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Beginning next Sunday, it's next Sunday, our class will resume at 6:30 p.m. each Sunday evening. So this is our last Sunday morning class. Class beginning next Sunday will be from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And I hope that most of, if not all of you, will be able to join us at that time frame. Also invite others who could not possibly join us at this current morning session. Maybe they'll be able to join us in the evening. If you show up next Sunday morning, I will not be here. Most of the class will not be here because we no longer meet on Sunday mornings. This is the last session. So next Sunday evening. And I will make sure to try to get that announcement out on Facebook this week, not only to let you all, remind you all, but other people that may not even be familiar with our class, so they'll know. So you all spread the word all around in whichever means God gives you to spread it. That the Contemporary Bible class will be meeting at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. each Sunday evening. And I'm looking forward to that. On this evening, good morning to all of you. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska, where Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is my pastor. Sister Marcia Hall is the ministry director of the Life Development Ministry. Even though we're located in Omaha, Salem Baptist Church, this class is open to anyone, anyone at all, saved or sinner, white, black, yellow, whatever color, whatever race, even whatever denomination. This class is open to all young and old, men and women. So I welcome you this morning as we continue in our study of the gospel according to Luke. And on this, our last Sunday morning class, we will be concluding, Lord willing, Luke chapter 13. That's where we are today, is in Luke chapter 13. And we will be concluding the chapter by God's grace on today. On last week, we were looking at Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 33. And today we'll be looking at that same passage, only we'll be going on to the end. So we'll be introducing, reviewing a new passage of scripture, but all of it in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 35. As most of you know, I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. That's for classroom purposes. When I'm doing my own private teaching, my own private study and reading, I have other versions of the Bible. But for the sake of uniformity in the classroom, I teach from the New King James. Well, let's go to our God in prayer, and then we'll continue on in our study. Blessed God, how we love you on this day that you have wakened us to see another day, and it was by your divine appointment, by your divine grace, by your divine will, by your divine purpose, and by your divine power, Lord God, that we are awakened this morning by your love. And we want to say thank you, Lord. We owe you our praise. We owe you our worship. We owe you, Lord God, thanksgiving. And we are glad to pay our debt of thanksgiving unto you, our debt of praise unto you, our debt of giving you glory and honor. We are willing to pay it to you, Lord God, because you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Then we give glory to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom you have given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We thank you for the great name of Jesus. Now, Lord, here we are in your presence, waiting to hear from you. And we ask you now to anoint each one of us. Anoint me to teach, Lord God. Anoint me to hear from you. Anoint me to be led by you. Anoint me to say no more than you want me to say and say no less than you want me to say. Anoint the hearers, Lord God, to hear and minister to each one of us. Feed us, Lord, living manna from on high. And Lord God, may your word, which is alive and living, quick and powerful, give life and quicken us in every way. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be, and whatever may hinder us from hearing from you. Dear Lord, we pray, forgive. We pray for the absent part of us, those who are part of this class, but they cannot be with us this morning for whatever the reason. We remember them in prayer. We pray that all is well. And now, Father, keep us in your care. Carry us on along the way, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're continuing on in Luke chapter 13. We're going to begin our review at verse 22 and go on through the end of this chapter, ending our last morning session, ending with chapter 13. Lord willing, next week at 6:30 p.m. Next week at 6:30 p.m. Same Zoom meeting ID number, same Zoom passcode, but the time will be different, 6:30 next Sunday evening. We will begin Luke chapter 14. So I encourage each one of you to go ahead sometime this week and read Luke chapter 14. First of all, let's finish Luke chapter 13. So last week, when we were looking at, we looked at verse 22, and we know according to Luke chapter 13, verse 22, it tells us, and he, Jesus, went through the cities and villages. So that lets you know he's traveling. Jesus on the move. He went through the cities and villages, teaching as he went. Jesus is teaching as he's going, but he's journeying towards Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, he's doing many things. He's still ministering to people. He's still teaching. He's going through the cities. He's going through the villages, but he is focused on getting to Jerusalem. So that's where Jesus is headed. He's on his journey to Jerusalem. But as he's journeying, we found out in verse 23 that someone had a question. We don't know if it was a fellow disciple, a disciple. We don't know if it was a Pharisee or just someone from the crowd. We don't know who asked the question, but the question comes out in verse 23. Lord, are there few who are saved? So whoever this person is wanted to know, how many people are going to be saved? Well, Jesus didn't give a number. He didn't give a number at all. He said, Jesus gives a response, though. He answers the question. It's one question in verse 23. But we notice Jesus's answer to the question covers a lot of verses. And you see that if you have a red letter Bible from verse 24 all the way to verse 30. Jesus is answering the question, are there few who are saved? So Jesus gives an answer. Verse 22, Jesus is journeying. Verse 23, a question is asked. Verse 24, the answer is given. So Jesus gives this answer. He doesn't say as few are, he doesn't say as many. He simply lets us know, he lets us know. First of all, in verse 24, he says, make sure you're striving, strive to enter through the narrow gate. In other words, nobody's getting in heaven by accident. Nobody's going to show up in heaven. Oh, here I am. How did I get here? No one will get to heaven like that. There's a narrow gate. You have to strive to enter that narrow gate, and then you have to stay on the narrow pathway. It's a narrow door. There's only one door that takes you to glory, and that door is Jesus. But there are many doors in this world. There are many paths in this world. And the Bible lets us know broad is the road that leads to life and is that leads to death, and is full of people, that broad road, Broadway. You all know about Broadway. Whenever you look at Broadway, some of you have been to Broadway, on Broadway, and you it's full. It's the Broadway. And so the Broadway has a lot of people on it. Now, I don't mean the literal Broadway now in New York City. That's an illustration. The Broadway has a lot of people on it, packed with people. The Broadway, in a spiritual sense, is leading to death. Many doors, it's a broad road. But the way that leads to life, Jesus Christ, he is the one and only door. Verse 24 tells us it's a narrow gate and you have to strive to enter. And so when we were studying this passage, I asked you, are you striving? Are you just, oh, I know I'm saved, so I'm comfortable. I don't have to worry about nothing. Jesus saved me back in 1992, and then you go on your merry way like you're in heaven. Well, by the way, none of us are in heaven yet. Now, my salvation, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know the Lord. I know he knows me. I walk with the Lord. He walks with me. We talk together. I know the Lord. However, I'm not in heaven yet. So I have to keep on the journey. I'm not afraid of losing my salvation, but I am aware. Jesus said, I'm the way. You have to keep on the journey. No turning back. You have to stay on the road all the way from earth to glory. And we're not in glory yet. So don't get lazy. Don't be presumptuous. Keep on the narrow way. And a lot of Christians and so-called, they get comfortable. And they forget, you're not there yet. You have to keep on traveling with Jesus. He said, follow me, follow him. Well, he didn't stop. Jesus went all the way from earth to glory. And we have to follow him too, on this narrow way, all the way by the power of the Holy Ghost from earth to glory. And so Jesus tells this man, and he's telling all of us, make sure you strive to enter through the narrow gate. And then Jesus tells us, make sure you're in that narrow gate, on that road. He says, make sure you're striving. He says, make sure you know the Lord. Make sure you know the Lord. And I emphasized that last week. But also you need to make sure that he knows you. Because some people, they think you know you. They know you. And you all know everybody out here. People think they know you. Well, in reality, none of us really know ourselves completely. We don't know ourselves in our fullness, but no one knows us like we know us. No one knows us other than the Lord knows us. We only know about people that amount they reveal to us, or God may reveal to us about someone. But you get my point. No one knows us in our entirety but the Lord. So we have to make sure we know the Lord, but you want to make sure that he knows you. Because you might be saying, oh, I know the Lord. I know I'm safe. I know this. I know I'm in heaven. But we need to make sure that God is saying the same thing. Because we found out in verse 25 here, where it says, when once the master of the house has risen up. Let me start at verse 24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So that means on that day of death, on that day of judgment, many folks think they're going to be in heaven. Because if you notice today, and I'm talking fast because I have a lot to cover today. If you notice when people die today, wherever it may be, if you're in a public area or something, everyone is resting in peace. Everybody is on the other side in glory. Everybody is being put into heaven. Well, everybody ain't going to get in heaven. Everybody's not going to rest in peace. And so everybody's not going to be in heaven. Everybody's not going to rest in peace. And it doesn't matter if I say rest in peace or you say rest in peace. What matters is if the Lord says, rest in peace. And so the scripture lets us know in verse 24, many will seek to enter and will not be able. Those are sad, sad words. Well, when will that happen? Verse 25, when once the master, that's the Lord, the master of the house, he's the one who can shut the door. He can open the door. He's the one that's got the keys of death and of hell. He controls the house. And so it says in verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up. Now, right now, God is seated. Jesus is seated at God's right hand. And the day will come where God will arise. And that is a scripture. And we used to sing a song not too long ago, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. That's a song. And it's a psalm too. Let God arise. But right now, it's the day of grace. It's the day of mercy. It's the day where God is seated with the door of repentance open, where men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. But the time will come, like Brother BJ just mentioned, his clock winding down. Well, God has a clock, per se, winding down too. Winding down or winding up to the time where the master of the house will arise. And when he arises, ain't going to be no turning back. When he arises, he will shut the door, just like in Noah's day, when God shut the door on Noah's ark. And those people were banging at the door. They wanted to get into the ark then, but it was too late because God had shut the door. And they all drowned except for everyone who was in the ark. Our ark is Jesus. He is our ark. So verse 25, the master of the house will rise up. He will shut the door and many will stand outside and knock, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer and say, I don't know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate, we drunk with you. We know you and you taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he will say, I tell you, I don't know you, where you are from. See, that's, you got to be on the right path, the path where he knows, that fellowship with Jesus. It's not fellowship with the world, it's fellowship with Jesus. So he says, depart from me, verse 27. I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me. That is an eternal departure. That is eternal damnation. That is eternal sent to hell. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And the road to glory is a highway of holiness, and it's a highway of righteousness. Those are distinguishing factors. Are you seeking to walk in righteousness and truth? Or are you walking in sin and iniquity? So those are distinguishing factors between being truly born again and just being a professing Christian. So we want to make sure of those things. The Bible also lets us know here in this passage, there will be many who think they are saved, but they'll find out they are not. That's too late then. It's sad. But on the other side of the coin, there'll be a lot of people in glory. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be one of them. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And I pray I'm on my way along with you all on this Christian journey. But the Bible lets us know in these verses, verse 29, there will be many people. Let's start at 28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, now here comes the group that's going to be in glory. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. Oh, what a day. And even today, there are people all over this world going from the east, the west, the north, and south. I always say there's a great processional going on. You all know in churches, in the Baptist, traditional Baptist Black church, there were processionals. The choir would march in. Processionals march in one by one as a group. And I just see this procession. There's an ongoing procession even now. Many people are processioning into heaven today, and they will come from the east, the west, the north, or south, processioning into glory. sitting down in the kingdom of God. Oh, what a day that will be. And I always say the choir stand of glory is filling up every day. And so we want to be in that group. And so that's our review of those scriptures, verses 22 through 30. And verse 30 says, and there indeed are last, and indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. So we might be last down on this side of glory, but it's better to walk on the humble road, on the low road, than seeking to be first. Always seek to humble yourselves. Always seek to take the low road. That doesn't mean you're beneath anyone, but always seek humility. Always seek lowliness. And any exaltation that is to come, let God do the lifting. Let God do the promoting. It is our job to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due season. So the first will be last, and the last will be first. But then we go on in our passage. We go on in our passage in verse 31. And you notice now in verse 31, if you have a red letter Bible, and I encourage everyone to get a red letter Bible where you can see the words of Jesus in red. For many reasons, I say get a red letter. But one reason is you can see the outline better. So verse 31, we notice it went to black letter. So Luke is done with his narrative for a second. But verse 31 is going to be, as it were, a scene change. Even though Jesus is still on his way, journeying to Jerusalem, something else happens. So Luke, the narrator, verse 31, he's the one telling the story. Luke, the narrator, says, on that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Okay, so this happens the same day. So we still have our picture. Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem, traveling, doing teaching, but moving towards Jerusalem. But on that very same day, later on in that day, Pharisees came. Well, when you hear the word Pharisee, most of us have a what? We have a negative connotation of the Pharisees. And that's because they have given us that impression of them. They were skeptical of Jesus. They were cynical of Jesus. They were there to criticize Jesus. They were there to try to catch Jesus. So, of course, we would think negatively of them because that's who they were as a whole. But there were some Pharisees that really did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, such as Nicodemus, such as Joseph of Arimathea, and then there are others in the book of Acts. But as a whole, the Pharisees were enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here come the Pharisees, and they said to Jesus, and immediately our antenna goes up. Immediately we say, what do they want? What are they going to say? Well, they come on the scene and they tell Jesus, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, when you hear those words, it seems like a warning. It seems like they want to warn Jesus that Herod wants to kill them. Well, we found out just a few chapters ago, if we go back to chapter 11, and let's go back quickly to chapter 11, verse 53. Well, chapter 11, verse 53 says, and as Jesus said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. So here come these Pharisees, and we have their motive. Here's their mission statement: to assail Jesus, to cross-examine him, to lie in wait for him, to seek to catch him, and to accuse him. So they're lined up with the devil. Those are things the devil would want to do. So we know the Pharisees are no friends of Jesus. Well, why is it in Luke 13, all of a sudden, would they be trying to warn Jesus? See, that doesn't match up. Something is shady here. There's some shady stuff going on here. because the Pharisees want to kill Jesus. But here they come under the disguise of Herod, and it could have been Herod sent them. It could have been Herod and the Pharisees were in cahoots together. They could have had a meeting and say, well, Herod could have told them, I'm going to kill Jesus, but I want you Pharisees to go ahead of me. They could have been working together. And behind the scenes, they were. Because over the Pharisees that were against Jesus and Herod is Satan. Satan is a liar. Satan is a murderer. Satan, above all, wants to see Jesus not fulfill his mission. And so Luke 13:31, the Pharisees come whether to scare Jesus. Yeah, they're trying to scare him. They're trying to scare Jesus, but they're really trying to get him to get off course, to get off mission, to not make it to Jerusalem. They don't want him to fulfill, even though they want him dead, they don't want him to fulfill the mission. And he has stated, Jesus has let us know how exactly he will die. He's told us how he will die. But here it says in verse 31, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Well, Jesus knows he's going to die. He knows that. He knows he's going to be killed. But it won't be because of Herod. It won't be because Herod kills him. First of all, it will be ordained by the Father, and then it's going to come through the Jews. And we'll see that later on right here in our passage, where it will come through Jerusalem, come through the Jews. It will not be Herod, even though Herod has a role to play. Now, we know Herod was no friend of Jesus, because Herod the Great, I'm trying to keep those Herods straight, Herod the Great, which was Herod's father, this Herod's father was the one who killed the babies under 2 years old. When Jesus was born, Herod the Great was the one who sent that assignment out, kill all the babies under two. He was trying to kill Jesus even as a child. And now this is Herod Antipas. And what we know about him, he's the one, Herod's son, he's the one that had John the Baptist in prison, because he didn't want to hear about all that righteous stuff. He didn't want to hear about his sexual sin. So he had John the Baptist in prison. And later, through the wife, later on had John the Baptist martyred. So Herod is no friend of Jesus, and we know Herod is capable of killing. So Herod is lined up with the devil as well as these Pharisees. Does it deter Jesus? No, not at all. Because verse 31, that's trying to scare Jesus, trying to keep him from fulfilling his mission of getting to Jerusalem. Whatever you do, don't go to Jerusalem to be killed. Now, Jesus had been to Jerusalem before. Every feast, those feast days he kept, he had been there before. Even at the age of 12, we saw him in the temple. But he must go to Jerusalem now, where he will be betrayed and be killed. And so verse 31, get out, depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Turn back, go another way, get out of here. But Jesus comes back with his strong response. And he said to them, verse 32, he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So in other words, is Jesus scared? Is he intimidated? Is he shaking in his boots? Is he shaking in his sandals? No. Jesus, first of all, says, I know Herod and I know you. Go tell that fox. So in other words, Jesus pulls off the mask. And he says, I know you, Herod. You ain't nothing but a cunning, conniving, sly fox who wants to kill me. I know exactly who you are. You are not for me. Jesus knows that Herod is against him, and so are these Pharisees. And he tells them, go tell that fox. In other words, y'all get out of here. But I'm going to Jerusalem. You all go back. And when you go back, you give him this message. Behold, I cast out demons. In other words, Jesus is on his mission. He gave us his mission statement in Luke chapter 4. That was his first mission statement in Luke chapter 4, how he came to set captives free. And he gave us all these different things he was supposed to do and would do. So in Luke 13:32, he says, behold, look a here. That's what behold means. Behold means look with both eyes. Look and look again. I cast out demons. In other words, I ain't scared of none of y'all devils. I cast out demons and I perform cures. So Jesus still on his healing ministry and he's still on his deliverance ministry and he's still teaching. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures. And I'm going to do it today. I do it tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected. In other words, I'm going to keep journeying and I'm going to keep doing everything that my Father assigned for me to do. I'm going to fulfill my mission in full, in total. I'm not scared of Herod or no one else. And you all, we have to have the same determination as well. Sister Barbara Ingram reminded some of us at the end of class last week, we have to be bold in the Lord. And I have to quote the scripture even myself. Just yesterday, I had to quote the scripture, the particular scripture, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I had to say that to myself, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stay on the mission. Stay on your journey. Whatever God's given you to do, do it. Don't get sidetracked. There's many things that will sidetrack you, but stay on your mission. And as long as God has given us an assignment and we stay on that path, no one can cut us short. Nothing can cut us short as long as we are on the mission of the Lord. Now, sometimes in life, you know, missions change. At one time in life, I was in the choir. I'm not in the choir anymore, the singing choir. I'm not in the choir anymore. That part of my life changed. And now I'm teaching. So different, you know, life brings about and God brings about different assignments. But whatever it is, stay on your assignment. Stay on your path. And no devil in hell can stop you until God says, this is how Velma will die. Or this is how Jonisa, or this is how Linda Hill, any of us, this is how she will die. But as long as she stays on the path I've assigned, nothing can cut us short. And so Jesus knows how he will die. He will die in Jerusalem. He will be betrayed and he will be killed. He's not going to die because of Herod. And that gave him boldness. That gave him boldness in the face of opposition. And so verse 32, Jesus says, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to finish my work on the third day, which will be that day of crucifixion. He will be perfected. Let's look at several scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 17, and we're just going to look at several scriptures. John chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. John 17, trying to get there. John 17, verse 4. And this chapter is called Jesus's High Priestly Prayer. This is Jesus's prayer right before his arrest and crucifixion. John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, well, let me correct myself. There were other prayers Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But this prayer here in John 17 is what is called his high priestly prayer. John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now here's that I will be perfected in verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. That's what Jesus did as a man on this earth. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So Jesus knows he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to do miracles. He's going to cast out demons. And the third day, on that assigned day, he will be crucified at the appointed hour by the Father as the Passover lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, slain to be slain by the Father first through the hands of the Jews. And there'll be more to say on that this morning and in weeks to come. So Herod's not going to take Jesus out. But let's also look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30. And these in John chapter 19, also these are some of Jesus's last prayers when he was on the cross. Some of those last seven sayings on the cross, he was praying. So John chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So we notice Jesus finished his assignment. And when he finished his assignment, he said, "It is finished." And that was his sixth saying on the cross. The last saying on the cross is where Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Then he bowed his head and he died. So he went at the appointed time. Let's go back to Luke chapter 13. So therefore, Jesus could say in Luke 13, 32, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey." And you all, since we've been studying Luke, I haven't done it lately, but there's several mission statements of Jesus that start out with, "I must." He says, "I must do this. I must go to other cities. I must," you know, mission statement. And here's one of his mission statements in verse 33. "Nevertheless, I must journey." I have to journey. That's why he said, "Tell that devil fox, get out of here. I must journey. I'm going to journey today. I'm going to journey tomorrow, and I'm going to journey the day following." Why? Here comes when you see four in the Bible, F-O-R, you can say, why? Why do you have to journey? Why do you have to keep going? Four, because it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. So Jesus, and I have not taught on this, one day when God allows or says so, I will teach on, do a specific teaching on Jesus is the prophet. He is the prophet, capital P, prophet. So Jesus says here, one reason he can't perish outside of Jerusalem is because it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to do a teaching on Jesus the prophet today, but let's look at one verse that lets us know he is the prophet. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses is prophesying. Deuteronomy chapter 18, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, Jesus the prophet. And all, now this is an assignment some of you may want to do. All since we've been in Luke, it has been coming up about these prophets, where Jesus would say, "Who do men say that I am?" And they would say, "Some say that you are Elijah. Some say that you are Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." That would keep coming up several times since we've been in Luke, but I have not taken the time to teach Jesus is the prophet. But he was always lined up with Moses or Elijah or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 15, this is that great prophecy of Jesus being the prophet, capital P, prophet. "The Lord your God," Deuteronomy 18, 15, "the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." And if you have a New King James, it's with a capital P. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him shall you hear." Now that's prophesying about Jesus Christ. Moses is talking. Moses is prophesying. And he says, the Lord God is going to raise up a prophet like me, but greater than Moses, we know. A prophet like me from your midst. He will be a Jew. Jesus came of the seed of Abraham, from the Jewish lineage. He will be a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And then it goes on talking about the prophet. And then if we go on down to verse 18, verse 18 says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth." Notice that. "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." And we know Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God, the incarnate living Word of God. It's Jesus. He is that Word. That's why he is that prophet, because all the other prophets had to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Every other prophet had, I'm getting off course here, so let me get back to Luke here. But every other prophet had to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus himself is the Lord. So he is the prophet. Verse 19, "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." So Jesus is the prophet. Every word he spoke came from the Father. Okay, so let's go back to Luke chapter 13. So one reason Jesus must go to Jerusalem is because it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Now let's look at these scriptures we've looked at before, but let's follow this journey of Jesus going to Jerusalem. So let's first go to Luke 9, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And Luke 9:22 is the first time Jesus announces to his disciples his mission. Because if you remember, Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter. That's a lot of things change, gear shift in Luke chapter 9. And one of those things is in Luke 9, Jesus prophesies for the first time that he will go to Jerusalem and die. So Luke 9:22 says, "The Son of Man must," there's that must. I told you, mission statements. And there are several of them in Luke where Jesus says, "I must." So when you see that, that's a mission statement. 9:22, "The Son of Man must suffer." He must suffer. He must suffer many things. "And he must be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and he must be killed." It's a must. All of this is must. "He must be killed, and he must be raised the third day." So all of that, Jesus must. He must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. He must be raised. All right. So let's go to chapter 9, verse 31. Let's go on over to 9:31. So chapter 9, verse 31. And this is where we saw Moses and Elijah. They showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Luke chapter 9, verse 30. Let's start at 29. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. As he prayed, Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, those great prophets, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory. And they spoke, look what they're talking about. They spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So way back in chapter 9, Moses and Elijah, they show up on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus. And they were talking about what he was going to accomplish. He's going to finish this work. Come Herod or whoever, you could say hell or high water, Jesus is going to accomplish this mission that his father gave him. And Moses and Elijah showed up, and they were talking about his decease, his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Okay, so that's Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Then we go to chapter 9, verse 51. Chapter 9, verse 51. And it says in chapter 9, verse 51, now it came to pass, when the time had come, now here comes some more time has transitioned, when the time had come for him to be received up, now it's time to kick it up higher. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we can relate to that. You know, it's like, well, I've been knowing all the week. Like you all been knowing all week, Sunday morning's coming, and I've been knowing all week, I got to get ready for class. I got to get ready for class. All that was going on through the week. Well, by the time it got to Wednesday, it's like, ooh, I really need to get ready for class. And I had to do what? Shift gears. And by Friday and Saturday, all I had to go through, but Sunday is coming. And by Sunday morning, the work is being accomplished even now. And so it is with Jesus. The time is drawing nigh. And so now, verse 51 says, it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, the time is very near. And the closer you get to things, the more things fall into place. The time is very near. Let's look at a scripture in Isaiah. Let's go to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 50. And we only have like 7 minutes left, so I will be going as fast as I've still been going. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah's in the Old Testament, the first book of prophecy. Major prophet, Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus's death. Isaiah chapter 50, and let's start at verse 5. Isaiah 50, we'll start at verse 5. The Lord God, now Jesus, Isaiah is prophesying, but this is Jesus who is talking. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. So that's Jesus prophesying about his death. We know that they pulled out all them hairs on his beard. Every hair on his beard, they plucked out. So Isaiah's prophesying, but Jesus is the one who's being prophesied about. And my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And we know that happened to Jesus. Part of his sufferings. For the Lord God, for why not, Jesus? Why didn't you hide? Why weren't you afraid? Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. That was his strength. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. And that's why Jesus could tell Herod and all of them, go tell that fox, I have set my face like a flint. I will not be ashamed. And then he says, he is near who justifies me. Who's going to contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. And that was Jesus. You know how we say, encourage yourself in the Lord? Jesus fighting on. Jesus bold in his God. So that's in Luke chapter, that's in Isaiah, where Jesus is prophesying about, where Isaiah is prophesying about the death and sufferings of the Lord. Well, we have to finish in our last 4 minutes here, Luke chapter 13. Why must Jesus go to Jerusalem? We see now in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. It says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And then now we get to verse 33. And verse 33 says, nevertheless, I must journey. I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish, be killed outside of Jerusalem. Now Jesus's great lament. And what we're getting ready to read now, if you have a study Bible, mine says Jesus laments over Jerusalem. And now we see Jesus lamenting. And lament is a word that expresses great sorrow, great grief. And Jesus is grieving greatly, and he's very sorrowful, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There's a book in your Bible called the Book of Lamentations. It's written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, we know, one of his titles is Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And right after the book of Jeremiah is the Book of Lamentations. And the theme of Lamentations is mourning for Jerusalem. That's the theme of Lamentations. So here in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, we see a lament of Jesus. And it says in verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Look at that. Now, this is a lament, as I've said, it's a lament and a sorrow. And there's a scripture here, if I can find it real quick, where it says Jesus actually wept over Jerusalem. The actual word wept is there. And I'm not seeing it right now. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Luke 19, 43. Luke 19, 43. Luke 19, 41. Luke 19:41, it says, we have a minute. Luke 19:41, now as he drew near, he being Jesus, as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. So there's several times in scripture we see Jesus weeping. And this is one of them where Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem, the apple of his eye. Jerusalem, the Jews, the Hebrews. Why is he weeping? Let's go back to 19:34, Luke 13:34 in our closing seconds. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills, you're going to kill me. I was sent to save you. And instead of receiving me, you rejected me. How often I wanted to gather you. Jesus was sent to save, to come to save. To save his own, to save his own. But instead it says, you were not willing. And see, we see the heart of the Lord. It's a heart of love. It's a heart of compassion. God loves the world. But if you don't receive him, you will be rejected by him. Our time is up. Let me read this last verse, pray, and then go. See, your house is left to you desolate, and that's that house emptied. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's a whole nother teaching which God will give to us at the appointed time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the love, your love for us. And we thank you for the compassionate heart of Jesus. Even though he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and many hid from him. But we thank you by the grace of God that many have received and loved the Lord Jesus, of whom I am such, and such are these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. On this last Sunday morning class, we dedicate this class and our past classes to you. And now as we go forward into Sunday evening classes, we commit those evening classes to you as well. Continue to lead this class on, as well as all the other life development classes on. Continue to lead us on as we transition. And be glorified through us, we pray, through this week, and keep us on our mission, whatever our mission may be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Was that Lisa?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. I recognize your voice. You. Is Brother Galen there?
Yes, ma'am. He is.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Brother Galen.
How are you doing, sweetie? Miss you. Glad to see everybody. Still praying for you, Sister Velma.
Thank you.
Yes, praying, Sister Velma. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yes, I need those prayers.
And we sending them too.
Thank you.
All right. We feel your prayers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Let's lift up our service on the 19th, as Sister Hall reminded us.
All right.
Just next week.
What is it?
A church service, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Some of us. Salem. Okay.
Salem. We'll be virtual too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Some of us are going to virtual church now.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Love you. Love to everyone. Bye.
Bye bye.
Have a good day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. And Miss Sadie is praying for you too.
Yes. Tell Sister Sadie I'm praying for her too.
Man. Amen. Miss Sadie, want to speak?
Huh?
You want to say hello?
Yes, I do. I had a song to dedicate to her too.
All right.
You got to dedicate this one to you. Go ahead, Miss Sadie.
Somebody's praying for you. Had you on their mind. Took some time and pray for you. I'm so glad I pray. I'm so glad I pray. I'm so glad I pray.
Amen. Awesome. He's so glad too.
I would keep you ever strong. There's no need to be alone. Jesus would take you in his arms.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen.
And it's a beautiful voice, isn't it?
Thank you. God bless everyone, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
We meet again.
Amen.
iPad 3.
Miss Sadie.
Anyway, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye. All right, have a great week.
You as well.
Thank you.